Amen. Thank you, Miss Karen. Appreciate that. Amen, amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4. Anybody need a worksheet? Did not get one. Need a few down here. One over here. Down in the middle here. Okay. That's it right there. Keep your hand up. I wouldn't miss Miss Beverly back here. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4. All righty, Ephesians chapter 4. It says in verse number 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. The vocation that what we they're calling are to be to bring glory to God. It says, walk worthy of vocation with all lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as ye are all called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended in the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, each one of us, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. We're talking about the organizational lineup. The organizational lineup. We talked a little bit about that this morning, just momentarily. But you listen, we're going to do the job the church is called to do. We got to do it. We got to do it right. And God has a way of doing it, and we need to do it His way. Let's pray, and we'll get to our Bible study here. Father, I thank you so much for your speaking. We thank you for the way you talk to our hearts, and thank you for the speaking to our hearts here this morning. And Lord, I do pray that you'll be with the Dallases. We pray that you put your hand on them, prepare them, and work in their heart and prepare the hearts of the people in Wardensville to receive the Word of God as you will direct them to give them. Pray that you give them wisdom and power and strength and instruction. And just as we're talking about here this evening, you're setting up a new organization right there. And so, Lord, I pray that you, as we yield to you and as they yield to you, that you'll do a great work. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to do what we need to do in our area. Lord, we've got a nation that's got a lot of issues. We've got a nation that is basically self-destructing if we're not careful. And Lord, we need to do our part as the body of Christ. Each of us individuals is part of this particular called out assembly, and this called out assembly within the context of all the called out assemblies across our nation to do our work as the body of Christ. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. Lord, I pray that you'll stir hearts. Maybe there's somebody here that just needs to be part of what's going on. And Lord, if you'll just lean on them a little bit, maybe just impress upon their heart what it is that you'd have them do. May they be open, have open hearts to your direction, and then open hearts to your filling to be able to do the work that you've called us to do. Lord, everyone has a certain need here tonight, and Lord, I pray that you'll meet that need. Whether I address it or you address it through your Spirit, Lord, I pray that you'll do what's necessary and even more. And we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Ephesians 4 begins the second section of Paul's instruction to the church Of course, chapter 1 through 3 tells you who we are in Christ and our function and our calling in the world. The second section we're doing here in 4 explains how we are to go about fulfilling our calling, which is to bring glory to God. And that is to show the world all that God is by allowing Him to live in us and through us so that others might believe. And we do this through the power of the Holy Spirit as we yield to Him. This is all review from before, so I'm moving fast. Thus, Ephesians 4:1 says we need to live our life worthy of the vocation to which we have been called. We need to be made fit for the job that we have been told to do. We think we really got it, you know, we got the world by the tail, you know, we just think we got it all. Listen, we need to be made fit. I'm not fit naturally to be the pastor or even to represent Christ, and the fact is none of us are. We're made fit by the Spirit of God. And if we yield to Him, we can be made fit. By the way, somebody, the Lord is already filling the hole that's going to be left by the Dallases. Just so you know. One way or the other, God's already filling that up. He's not done. Nothing stops. We've been here before. There's always somebody else. I mean, Brother Dallas came in and filled a hole. We thought, oh my, what are we going to do? We're not going to be able to keep going. How are we going to do? How are we going to fill this hole? God's going to fill the hole. He knows what it needs to do. Sometimes He's working in the heart of somebody we're not even thinking about. So He's going to fill the hole. I wouldn't worry about that. And you know, you say, well, aren't you sad that He's blowing? Yes, I'm sad. We stood there and cried in my office and hugged and all this stuff, and I don't want to see Him go. Besides the fact, it just makes my job harder to go find somebody else. But the Lord knows. We got to be, it's okay. God knows what's going on. Now, since each of us is part of the church, the body of Christ, there should be some commonalities shared among us. And of course, in verse 2 there, it says we should have a Christ-like heart and a demeanor. Our walk should be with all lowliness of heart, meekness and demeanor. We should thus be long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, which comes from God. We should not be thinking about selfish desires, but endeavoring to keep the unity within the body of the bond of peace, so the body can do what it's supposed to do. And this should be given, this should be a given, since we are all called by the same God, have the same hope in our calling, and being part of the same body, possessing the same Spirit, having the same hope of eternal life, because we all have the same hope of being saved by grace through faith. We all have the same Lord, same boss, the same set of doctrines to base our lives on, the same baptism of the Holy Spirit by which we're made part of the body. We have the same God and Heavenly Father loving us, instructing us, and guiding us, and caring for us, and He is above all of us, working through all of us, and He is in all of us as believers. That's what we just read. Now, these are constants. These are things that are part of all of us and makes us all one and should encourage us to care for one another and work together. Now, on the other hand, though we all have a position as part of the body of Christ, we are not all the same particular body part of Christ. We are not all the same part. Just as a human body all begins with a single cell. And it's an amazing thing. The human body begins with one single cell. And then it develops into a vast array of body parts and systems. So we, being from the same life source, have developed in a variety of body parts according to the plan of God. The members of the body must work together, or else the body will be self-defeating and will destroy itself. All the parts of the body must join in the task at hand, or else the goal will not be accomplished well. It won't be efficient. It won't be timely. Now let me remind you of a couple things. We are the body of Christ. It's simple. We are the body of Christ. We are the arms and the legs and the mouth and the ears and the eyes of Christ. Number two, as the Father hath sent Jesus, Jesus says, so send I you. John chapter 20, verse 21 says this. Then said, this is right after the resurrection. He comes into them in the upper room and says, "Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, in other words, there's a connection. He says, I'm sending you, just like God has sent me, I'm sending you. He says, it saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Therefore, we are to be doing on earth that which Jesus would be doing if he was here in the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? The only difference is that Jesus is doing it through our flesh while he intercedes for us on the right hand of the Father. We are the body of Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. And what he's did for with Jesus is, greater works shall you do than I have done, because I go to the Father. Go to the Father, bring the Holy Spirit. You are the, listen, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit that was in Christ is in you, and you are now the body of Christ. Therefore, if you have a question as to whether the church, the body of Christ, should be involved in or participating in or spending his time and energy and finances on something in particular, just ask yourself the question, according to the track record of Jesus Christ in the Bible, is this something that Jesus would be doing if he was here? Let me say that again. If you have a question whether you should be doing something, since we're the body of Christ, ask yourself this question. Would Jesus be doing this if he was here? And as the body of Christ, then it's okay if he would. But if Jesus wouldn't do it, then we shouldn't be doing it. Number one on your paper. No, it is. I'm sorry. Yes, that's number one. We must have the same goal. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because this was from last week. Must have the same goal. Till we all come into the unity, the oneness of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, we need to be measured up to at least a little like the stature of Christ. He says the goal is for us to be measured up to him. The model that, let it be, the model that we're supposed to be aiming for is to be like Christ. Not like this person on the TV, not like this gospel artist. You're not here to be like me. You're here to be like Christ. Within the context of your personality. Now, by the way, being mean is not personality, that's sin. Being determined is good. Being strong-willed is not bad unless it's led by the flesh. Paul had a strong will. Peter had a strong will. Sometimes in the flesh, sometimes in the spirit. But strong will is not bad. That's good when it's led by the Spirit. Churches can spread themselves mighty thin, by the way, while doing many good things, yet not necessarily doing what God has called us to do. Let me say that again. Churches can do a lot of things and spread themselves mighty thin doing good things, yet not necessarily doing what God has called us to do. How much time did Jesus spend fighting against factions and governments and debating? And not much. Really none. He stood up against those that claimed to be proclaiming the truth of God but were giving false doctrine. Not fighting them, just standing. Giving truth. Number two, the gifts. The bestowment of the grace of God to enable us to do particular things. The gifts are given so we can all help to accomplish the goal. Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us, listen to every one of us. Teenagers, you. If you're saved, God has given you a gift. to be used as part of the body of Christ. Kids, God has given you a gift. If you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior, you've accepted Him in your heart, He's given you a gift. Hey, as old folks, God has given us a gift. I don't know what it is. It's an endowment. It's something. It may be. I don't know what it may be, but He has given you something to be used as part of the body of Christ. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He says, some of this, some have this, some has this and this and this, some has this and this and this and this. And listen, He's given us all things to do. Every one of us, I think that's underneath there, everyone has a gift, and all gifts are from God to be used for God. Letter B, everyone has a gift. And letter D, every part is designed and needed for the good of the body as a whole. Every part. Every part is designed. It's not haphazard. It is designed and needed. Needed. Hear me? Needed for the body of Christ. Sometimes the most gifted people don't want to waste their gift on the church. Shame. They could be. Could be used in a great way. You say, I've got this gift and I'm going to go out and make money with it. I'm going to go out and become famous with it. Now, it may not be a gift of singing or ministration or all kinds, I don't know. But there's something that you're good at. I'll pick on my son-in-law here. Mr. Jagger is our school administrator. He likes doing that. I don't understand it. We were talking about some duties, you know. I've known a little while that Pastor Dallas was going to be moving on, and he has duties. And there's some duties that are kind of behind the scenes, and organizational things. And I don't know what's going to happen this way or not. We're just kind of brainstorming, seeing where everything falls into place. Lord knows. And we were talking about, you know, taking care of some of those administrative duties and helping to keep things manned and volunteers in this class and Sunday school and this and stuff. And he says, I can do that. So I don't like standing up behind the pulpit and talk and preach. He said, I like doing that. Oh, my soul. Me, I'd rather talk anytime. You know that. That's not who I am. It doesn't make me less than him. And it doesn't make him less than me. It's different. Tom likes to punch numbers. But see, what we said, well, that's Philly. That's it. Do you want to punch numbers? I don't want to punch numbers. He just does it. Amen. He oversees. He kind of, well, I oversee where the expenditures are, but he keeps the books for the school. And was almost kind of thankful I gave it to him. Who'd have thunk it? I don't want to do that. I'm one of those crazy creative musician kind of types, you know. I can't do that. He does that. Now, you might think this is funny. I think the Lord brought him in and brought him to the time we were ready to start a school to take care of that. You might think that's silly, but you'd be surprised how God puts all those things together. You would just be surprised how God puts all that together. We have been designed. Number one here now is a second number one. This is where this is new. The giver of the gift. This is where we ended up last week. The giver of the gift. Now, I'm going to spend a lot of time with this, but I want you to see it. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That goes right along with what he said. I go to my Father, but it's good that I go to my Father, because then I will send the Holy Spirit. He told the disciples, he says, all right, but I want you, he says, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea, Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. He says, I've got something. Psalm 68:18. Did I give that to you? I don't think I did. Just give you the reference. Did I get the... Okay. Says, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Let me say this. Like a conqueror, back in those days, would march into the city followed by his chained prisoners of war that were once their dreaded enemy, Jesus is the triumphant conqueror, and he marched into heaven, leading the great nemesis of those things that have held man captive to display that the victory has been won. Listen. When a conqueror would go and conquer another city, he'd bring back the spoil. He'd bring back some of the king. He'd have them on chains, and they'd march them through town and say, this is what we've conquered. Here's the proof that we're the conquerors. Listen, it's almost like Jesus marched into heaven, the conquering hero, the Lord of all. And all he left captivity captive. You could say he conquered the conquerors. He destroyed the destroyers. And it's like walked in, it's all done. All victory has been won. Now, he went down, he won the victory, he goes up there, but wait a minute, he went up, now he descends again and puts that victory power in us to have victory every day. Jesus won the victory over our sin so we could be justified and considered sinless, so that we could actually dwell, so he could actually dwell in us. And now that God can dwell in us, he comes to us bringing spiritual gifts, if you will, endowments of the miracle working grace of God, so we can continue the work of Jesus as the body of Christ, just as Jesus did when he was the body of Christ on earth. You know what I'm saying? Now listen, that's where we get ourselves in trouble sometimes. Well, the Holy Spirit came in. We're looking for a shiver. We're looking for some kind of crazy manifestation. Too often folks are looking for something that God never intended. What are the gifts for? To do the work of Christ. By the way, did Christ ever speak in tongues? So you can be filled with the Spirit and not speak with tongues? I'm not trying to be mean here. But we have taken this and we're looking for some fleshly shiver, some fleshly manifestation. I'm not trying to be mean here. Listen, tongues happened. It happened. It's in Acts. It's right there. And there were some other times when it happened. And can God do that type of thing now? Yes, for the sake of bringing someone to Christ. That's the main point of it. Now, they had gifts. In fact, you go back to 1 Corinthians there. They had the gift, and they were starting to kind of demonstrate it in church. And they would all speak in tongues and hear, and they said, wait. God's not the author of confusion. Okay, you got that gift. Let's use it where it's supposed to be used. But that was when they were trying to give the gospel to the entire world. Now, wait a minute. It would be just the same thing if in the middle of the service, when Karen was singing her special, that Ruthie got up and said, you know, I sing too. And so she started singing her song while Karen was singing her song. Well, Darren says, well, I can sing too. So he starts singing his song. Well, he said, well, what they were singing was all fine and dandy. Yes, it was, but it wasn't accomplishing
what God had intended to do. In fact, the Bible says they come and if someone were to come to church, hear everybody speaking in tongues all the same time, because these people are crazy. You read it. These people are crazy because it wasn't the intention. It's not that God can't do it. It's not that we need to deny it ever happened. That's not the point. That's ridiculous. In the book, you believe the book, you believe the book. But the gifts are given to do the work of Christ. As the Father has sent him, so sends he us to do the work of Christ. We're the body of Christ. We should be doing what Christ would be doing if he was here right now physically. But he is in here us through us. Letter B, Jesus. You have a B yet? Yeah. Jesus makes it possible for us to go into the presence of God, takes us into the presence of God, and then God, as the Holy Spirit, brings gifts into our souls as he comes in to equip us to be a profitable member of the body. Question is, are we a profitable member of Christ? Now, this evening I want to show you just a few things here. Number two, I want to show you the framework of the body of Christ. Sometimes we misunderstand some things. Folks, you've got to read the Bible within context of the Bible. You've got to. The fact is, a lot of independent fundamental Baptist churches have thrown things out for years that they didn't know what to do with because they were just as guilty as everybody else, just reading one verse and off they go. We need to know, we need to study. Not just preach something we've heard over and over and over and over and over again. There's a framework. The framework of the body of Christ. Look at verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So look at the punctuation there. And he gave some apostles, semicolon, and some prophets, semicolon, and some evangelists, semicolon, and some pastors and teachers, semicolon. We've got several different categories here. They have different jobs within the body of Christ. By the way, the body of Christ has been living ever since John chapter 20 that I read for you when he said, breathe in them, and they became, and he says, and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's when they received the Holy Ghost. That's when they were indwelt by the Holy Ghost. That's when they became the body of Christ. Before that, the Old Testament says that the Holy Spirit would come upon people. But they couldn't go into them yet because our temple was still dirty. Because there hasn't been the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When Jesus died on the cross, he took away the sin. He just didn't cover the sin until the Old Testament they would kill the lamb and the ram. It took care of things, kind of covered things until the real thing happened. But when the real thing happened, our sins are forgiven. We're justified. We're not perfect, but it's paid in full at the bottom. He says, we're going to treat you just as if you had never sinned. And the Holy Spirit come in and live in you to do the work of Christ. What's he trying to do? Get as many in ready to go to heaven when the time comes. That's what he's trying. He loves you. That's what we're not trying here to do. We're so busy doing a whole so many other things than what God has called us to do. Now, so he says that he has given us gifts. And then verse 11 says, and he gave some. He gave some gifts. He granted to us, he yielded over to us some things. That word some means some have been given this as opposed to that. It really gives the idea. He says he gave some. He gave some this and some that. These are some of the gifts that Jesus gave the church. And he gave some apostles. And he gave some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Letter B, the succession of the pronouncement of the word of God is as follows. Let me say it this way. The succession is the word I'm looking for there. God is looking to give the world truth. That is what he's always been doing. That's what he called the Jewish people to do. He wants to give the world truth. He wants the world to see how he blesses. He wants to see, he wants to work through some people. And when they had not brought forth fruit, been here on Wednesday night, had not brought forth that fruit as they were supposed to bring forth fruit, he set Israel aside. He did not replace them. I got a video in the mail the other day of some guy, and he was talking about replacement theology and throwing out the Jews and ridiculous. He was from a Baptist church, a good guy, and he saw some verses, and he then went off the deep end of some things. It's all out of whack here. But anyway, he's not replacing the Jews, but right now he has put them aside. He's grafted us, the church, in the mystery that Paul talked about, and we're supposed to do the work of Christ to show the world who Jesus is. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto him. That's our job. Our job is not to entertain. Our job is that they see Jesus. Now, they may see Jesus, and it may be even entertaining while we do it. But if it's not showing Jesus, we've wasted our time. Listen, I'm all for big children's ministries and all those kind of things. And we have good things. But if what we're getting is all pizzazz and Snicker bars and lollipops and so forth, and when they get all done, they still don't know we're all sinners. The cause of our sin, we deserve death and hell. But Jesus died and paid for all our sin and rose again, proving my sins were paid for. And if I'll receive him as my Savior, he'll come in and save my soul. If we don't get that in their heart to start with, we've wasted our time. You say, well, we got them in the church. Well, good. Well, we got them off the street. Well, good. But they can go to hell from church. It's easy to go from hell from the street. They've got to know Christ. That's what we're doing, our focus. And so he says, I'm going to give out the word of God. So he gives, number one, underneath letter B, apostles. Apostles are sent out ones, ambassador, set apart. These were the ones that were commissioned by Christ, here we go, to be delegates. D-E-L-E-G-A-T-E-S. Delegates, representatives of Christ. These had signs and wonders similar to Christ so that the people would be willing to accept them as being of Jesus. Wow, they did this. These people, he says, they took notice that they were ignorant, unlearned men, but that they had been with Jesus. Listen, John and Peter go past the temple beautiful, and a man asks for alms, and he says, well, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I'll give. And heal the man right there. And the man who couldn't walk was walking into the temple. What was he doing? God was giving them signs and wonders to show them that these people who were going to be writing a lot of the Word of God in the New Testament for us are from Jesus. He was verifying. He was clarifying. These men have been with Jesus. Listen to them. That's what they're saying. Listen to them. They had given us clear explanation of God's Word, the New Testament books, the Gospel, the instructional writings. Let me read something here. Acts 1:21 says, wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time that Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. They gave forth their lots. Now, to be honest with you, I think Peter was trying to push the thing a little bit too soon, because you never hear any more about from those guys. But he does explain what apostle is. Someone who has seen Jesus. Someone who was a first-hand witness of what Christ had done. His life, his death, his resurrection. Well, who was going to be because Judas was now gone, so who was going to be the 12th apostle? I believe it's Paul, the apostle born out of due time, who saw the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. He said, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. I don't believe either one of these two guys. They were probably very nice guys, but you never hear anything more about them. The apostles were the one who's going to give us the written word of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, it says, 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, "Moreover, brethren, declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, but which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." This is Paul speaking. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Sounds like, who was that? Popeye. Yeah, I am what I am. I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of Christ. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So the apostles were to give us the word of God. Paul gave us basically half of the New Testament. These people were the men who saw Christ. They were giving us the words. He said, listen, we've got different jobs. But wait a minute, the canon of Scripture is done. The Scriptures are done. It's sealed up. It's 66 books. There are no more apostles. Now, folks who call themselves apostles, I get emails who've given me new revelation. And this is what's going to happen. There are no more apostles. Okay? Now, number two, he gave some prophets. Prophets to make known. There's your two. To make known. Even before the event. To make known. These are those that are foretelling what is yet to come. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but John, the apostle, was also a prophet. He wrote the book of Revelation. Paul tells us of what life will be like at the end times, and in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Listen, all those things, Paul saw that coming. John saw that coming. So there were some things that they wrote, especially John in the book of the Revelation. But not all the apostles were also prophets. Now, they may have had some insight on some things. They may have interpreted or even expounded on what John had said, but the fact is, they weren't necessarily. He says he gave some evangelists. Evangelists. A preacher to announce the good news of the gospel. Now, I don't believe that there's any apostles or prophets anymore. There's no new revelation. Now, I can tell the future by simply repeating what's already here. Okay? I'm not telling you new revelation. But I can give you the word of God. It's already been revealed. It's settled. However, I do think there is such things as an evangelist. A preacher, here's the word, to announce the good news of the gospel. God has given, now, of course, there's all these other spiritual gifts, and we'll talk about that maybe. We did this a few years ago. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. We'll be there forever in Ephesians here. But in the context here, he's giving us some basic frameworks. He says there's evangelists. Philip was an evangelist. You read through chapter 7, 8. Philip the evangelist was in Samaria having a great revival. And God says, I want you to go to the wilderness here. There's a man going through there, an Ethiopian eunuch. I want you to go give him the gospel. And that man who's in the chariot heading to Ethiopia, he's going to take the gospel to Ethiopia with him. He was an evangelist. He wasn't telling anything new, but he had a way of telling that gospel and making it new. They didn't write any of the Bible, nor did he tell us any things to come. He preached Jesus. there's some folks that just have the gift of giving the gospel out. That we all should be giving the gospel out. All ready to give the reason for the hope that's within us. But there's some folks who just have it. They've just got it. It's a gift. Oliver B. Green says, you know, you ought to bring in pastors for Bible conferences. You also ought to bring in evangelists for revivals. I mean, back that up. The pastors are for revival. You can't revive something that wasn't already alive. If you're going to revive something, they had to have been alive at one time, right? But evangelist says brings new life. So sometimes you just need to bring in some new life. I don't know what folks would think around. We had a regular old sawdust trail tent meeting around here. I don't know. Shake them up, wouldn't it? They wouldn't know what to think. But you know, it's possible that we could bring somebody in and we just start inviting our friends. Why don't you pray about that? I'm not talking about just putting the ad in the paper. Oh, put the ad in the paper. I'm not talking about just putting the banner out front. We can put a banner out front. But would you invite somebody? If we had somebody you knew that had the gift of evangelism that would give that gospel out with the power of the Spirit, because that was his gift. Think about that. Number four, pastors and teachers. Let's say it this way. Shepherds and instructors. Shepherds and guides, if you will. Shepherds and instructors. These are those who care for the flock. The people of a particular assembly. That they inject the truth into the lives. And often, this may be the same person, the pastor and the teacher. It kind of looks like it is. In the Bible, Timothy. Timothy didn't write any new revelation. It doesn't talk about him foretelling the future. It really doesn't tell him going out there and having great revivals. But it does say, Timothy, feed the flock. Titus, feed them. You see, again, if we're not careful, we start weighing gifts. Well, the pastor comes in with a sharp suit, and you know, he knows how, he's got all the stories, and he can talk like this, and he can hold your hand, man. I tell you what, an hour goes by, and it seems like it was only a minute, because he knows just how to do it. And he can bring, and it was all said and done, he can draw the net and bring folks down the aisle. But wait a minute. You know who I am? I'm not an evangelist. I'm sorry. I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher. This evening, the evangelist is not going to teach you this. And you know, you're going to have a lot of fun with this. A lot of fun with what the evangelist is going to do. But the fact is, you need to know more than Jesus died and paid for your sins. Jesus says, go you in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know what? You can do that in one day. You can lead somebody to the Lord and baptize them that day. You've done your job, and the evangelist goes to the next town. But then there's a third part to that. And teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. That's the part where it says, add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. And then some godliness shows up. And some brotherly kindness shows up. And charity shows up. Listen. What if... Now see, I've never given birth. And I'm not planning on it. And I'm sure it's not a great day. But when that day's over, it's just starting. The tears and the grief and the training and the work and the... It's just starting. There's a joy, but it's just starting. And God, what are we doing? Giving the Word of God. So since the canon is complete, we have a more sure word of truth, and there's no need for apostles and prophets. There will be continuous need, though, for those that go out and plow the soil and plant the life in the ground there, the evangelists, and those that shepherd the new life, the pastors and the teachers. Listen, the body of Christ has many members. And you know what? You know, and I'm you know, we say, well, I think, you know, the pastor should be this, or I think the teachers, the deacons should be this, or this, or this. But if we're all the same part of the body, then where's the rest of the body? If we're all part of the body of Christ, the pastor's not going to be all the parts of the body.
You know what hurts? And this, I'm going to be real transparent with you. What hurts me most, and I hate to say this because the old devil always uses it, is to think that I wasn't what you needed. That I came up short. I said something, and you know, because the Bible says, in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. All the words I speak, I'm sure there's plenty of things that, well, I can't believe the preacher said that. Was that, I can't believe, if that's what he is, I'm going someplace else. Now, wait a minute. You might as well leave now if that's the case, because I'm going to do something stupid next week. Don't want to. Expectations. We get ourselves in trouble because of expectations. I need to do everything I'm supposed to. I'm not, it's not a cop out. But what I'm saying is this. Nobody can be all things to all people. And I can't either. I'm not. I try, but I'm not the most organized person in the world. You look at Brother Jagger's desk, and his desk is all nice and organized. You look at mine, don't mess with my system. I know where everything is. You know, poor Hannah, I said, would you go in and look on my desk? And I think it's over on the right-hand side, there's a little slip of paper, and amongst of all the other piles, there's little slips of paper. And I think it's probably right beside the phone. It might have been a yellow slip. You know, those things, but there it is. And she can usually find it. Don't mess with my system. But you say, well, pastor ought to be, listen, an organized desk is an organized mind. A messy desk is a messy mind. Well, what's an empty desk? Just saying. But wait a minute, listen. I grew up with a mechanic. But don't put me out there to fix the bus. There's so much stuff that Ron does around here, and he hates it when I do this, so forgive me. But he's always got a project. He's cleaning up this. He's cleaning up the property. Looks good. I have people tell me all the time, you know, the place just looks good. You keep it cleaned up. Looks sharp. And, you know, something will come in, and the brakes are bad on bus number 3 again. And so he's got to go out there and get that thing fixed. He comes in and spends time. Miss Margaret has to come in, and they drop him off, you know, and she comes back and gets him. He takes the car, takes the bus down there, drops him, goes and gets him. Listen. All these kind of things, and you know what? We're bound to miss one or two. You know, we're all bound to miss something we didn't get done. But we're all part of the body of Christ. There are things that you can do that I can't do. There might be a thing or two that I can do that God has called me to do that I get to do and you're not supposed to do right now. If the pastor is everything to all people, then who needs you? But we do need you. That's the point. Number 3, we are to be spiritual bodybuilders. We are to be spiritual bodybuilders. Verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the perfecting, making perfect, making mature of the saints. For the work of the ministry, that means to accomplish the necessary work, the labor within the body, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. We are perfecting the body so we can better do the work of the ministry and to better build a better body to be used of God. I'm here to build you up. To teach you some things, to strengthen you. And the fact is, we're here to do that together. And when I get somebody else who can do that, well, then you put them in front of some folks, and they're helping to edify the body, to the word like edifice, to build the body. Why? So that we can do the job that we've been called to do, which is to bring glory to God by letting everybody see who God is through us.
We need to do that. Listen, we're building the body of Christ. Now, the fact is, I hope that Brother Dallas has learned a thing or two while he was here. Maybe by, listen, I find every man's my teacher. Some teach me what to do, and some teach me what not to do. But every man's my teacher. And we're building the body of Christ. It's not wrong to send him out. Listen, these days everybody wants to go down to the gym. You know? And obviously I have not been there real often, but it's all muscle. Anyway, now why can't I do better sit-ups? I don't know. But anyway, we work. We work. There's all kinds of things that we do to build the body, and it is work. That's what we're doing. We're edifying the body. We're building the body. Letter B, our goal is to glorify God, to show the world who Jesus is, to glorify God. Thus, the individual body parts, you and me, should be constantly polishing, constantly fine-tuning ourselves, and thus the rest of the body, so the body as a whole can accomplish its purpose in a greater, more effective, more efficient, and more timely manner. Well, he hurt my feelings. Now, I'll pick on Sterl. He's been going to the gym for the last year and a half or so, and he can live much more efficiently than I can. Lost over 100 pounds. Actually didn't lose, didn't, and the fact is, though, you would think he's a whole lot lighter than he is, but that's because most of it's muscle. And so you've got to work on these things. And we're building the body to make it more efficient. Now, I'll guarantee you, those first couple months, you went home sore. At least you woke up sore. Sore. It hurt. It made him sweat. In fact, you hurt, you do it until to the fact that it actually makes you ache. But then the next day you did it and it wasn't quite as bad. Next month you did it and it's not quite as bad. And after a while, you know what? Let's put a few more on that bar and see what I can do. But many of us are satisfied with being fat and happy spiritually. Because it came to the gym, and whether it was Brother Jimmy or Brother Dallas or even my wife or the ladies or me, we gave you a workout. And it hurt. And so if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing that people do. Well, I'm not going back there. That's what you do on January 11th. You don't go back to the gym. You know how it is, a resolution? I'm not going back, it hurts. But wait a minute. We're here to help you face life, to strengthen you, to take what's coming at you, to edify the body. Letter C, how far do we go in bodybuilding? How far? Till we all come in the faith, in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, of the fullness of Christ. Till to go as far as we need to the point of completion. By the way, we're not going to make that till we're in glory, but we keep getting closer. We all come in the unity, the oneness. The one, there's a blank there, the oneness of the faith. The set of doctrines, oneness of the faith, set of doctrines. We all believe the same things and thus agree and can walk together. If this part of the body doesn't agree with this part of the body, this one thinks that whatever it is picking up is supposed to go over here, but this one thinks it ought to go here, and we're all grabbing a hold of it. Listen, if I was supposed to set this microphone stand over here, but this hand thinks it ought to go here, we're not going to get anywhere. The body has to decide what truth is, what's supposed to be done, and do it together. And within the body of Christ sometimes, well, I think it ought to go here, and I think it ought to go there. But there's one Spirit. There's one Lord over all, in us all, through us all. And listen, we ought to be all thinking the same way. And we will when we edify the body till we all come to the unity of the faith, watch, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. To know, to recognize, here it is, to be able to discern. To discern the knowledge of God unto a perfect man. Complete, here's the next one, complete growth that God desires in a man. Complete growth unto the same measure, the same, here's the word, degree. To the same portion, same degree of the stature. The maturity, watch, to be developed into the fullness. The complete, here's the word, filled, crammed full of Christ. He says, I want you to be edified until you're crammed full of Jesus. Number two, perfecting. The word means to make thoroughly complete, fully furnish. Fully furnish. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what we're talking about. Crammed full. Number three, the work, to do what it takes to meet the goal of the ministry, to be to the fullness of the work there. Then number four, edifying, to build, to strengthen, to set up, put in place, piece together all of us parts to make it work. And if we continue to build up one another in the Lord, we will eventually have such a unity that we are extremely efficient. Ball players practice and practice until their entire body is in tune with itself and coordinated as one smooth flow. Can you imagine shooting a basket with one leg that doesn't work? Do a layup. I can't do it with two good feet. But do a layup. Listen, we need to be in sync with the task at hand. The one that we ought to be one in sync, and the one that's in sync is going to be better at the job they do. Too many deacons across America, deacon boards, spend all their life boiling water and never cook anything. We ought to be one in Christ. And if we're not one in Christ, maybe we better go back and find out why we're not one in Christ. And just like the physical body has a framework that works, that forms the structure of the body, so the body of Christ must have a framework. Now, let me finish it out here. You're all done. You got all your parts? Jesus died and defeated our enemies of the world, and of the flesh, and of the devil. And we can now justifiably go into the presence of God. That also means the Holy Spirit can now come into us. When the Holy Spirit comes in, He brings many blessings, including gifts, to be used within the functioning of the body of Christ, which we are all part of. We are designed as part of the whole body, and we need to make ourselves available to fulfill our role. Are you in sync with the rest of the body of Christ? Is there something that you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing? Has the Lord impressed upon your heart that you should be involved in serving in a ministry that you have not yet surrendered to? Get alone with God. Get His heart on the matter. Listen, it is not about being something and somebody so that you can be someone that others admire. It's about being the body of Christ. Christ gave Himself away so that others might live. That's what Christ did. Now we're the body of Christ. And He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. And then God will start using us, and we will see His plan in our lives as He proves through us what is His good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As much as you may get wearied of one another or wearied of your preacher,
He preached again till 7:30. Five. We are one body. We better get used to it. We're one member of the body, and so it must be all for one and one for all. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here tonight. Lord, I thank these dear people for being patient. But we're the body. We had a workout this morning. We had a workout tonight. Probably made us sweat a little bit. But Lord, if we just stay at it, we will be strengthened to do the work you've called us to do. You want us to walk worthy of our job, our vocation, our calling. Lord, may we walk worthy. Our heads are bowed.